This episode of the podcast is not available as a video podcast. Usually we try to make these things available when we do a live show out of town, but for this one, we decided to keep it pretty low tech, and it works because we're just talking about audio, we're talking about music, we're not showing any clips, so don't worry, you're not missing out on too much. But I will say, just for a little context before you listen to the episode today, we did this live from the Falcon Theater, which was a great venue, and it's primarily a theater venue. So actually on the stage behind us was the set for A Streetcar Named Desire, which we did a matinee show and then A Streetcar was doing the evening show. So at certain points you can hear us referring to beds and doing other fun object work, prop work on the stage. So that's what that is. We are literally in the middle of a living room in a kitchen for A Streetcar Named Desire. This information also might be helpful during the second segment of this episode, which features a long break from us talking and a lot of the audience reacting to us playing with the set and trying in various ways to end it all. So if you're looking for the video podcast, it ain't there. Don't worry, you're not missing the link. But enjoy the audio of this episode of Good Christian Fun.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Newport!
How we doing?
Hello!
Y'all ready to have some good Christian fun?
You say, amen. All right, let's try again. Y'all ready to have some good Christian fun?
Amen.
Welcome to youth group. I'm so glad you're here. Kids. Oh, I need
to. Here we go. Three dates that will live in infamy. December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And on January 19th, 1956, after an American flag shaped like a crucifix and a racist pizza had sex, Carmen Licardello was unleashed upon this rotten earth. As the myth goes, cursed by a secular liberal witch who gave him the blessing of good as hell music, but the burden of looking sexy as Satan while doing it, Carmen would haunt the CCM charts for decades with hits like The Champion, Riot, Mission 316, Satan Bite the Dust, and the pre-MAGA MAGA anthem, America Again. Musically, his style lay somewhere in the space between Frank Peretti televangelist audiobooks and slow Jesus jams for lusty divorced aunts. Lyrically, the two themes that became immediately consistent throughout all his work were, one, I'm not gay, and two, I want to punch Satan in the dick. Career highlights include regular hosting gigs on the TBN network, starring in his own movie, Carmen : The Champion. But in 2013, Carmen would announce that he himself had cancer. The Big C got the Big C. Now, skeptics were on high alert given that Carmen's live shows routinely featured faith healings, which hired audience plants faking illnesses, and then after he laid those muscular Italian meat gloves on them, they would be healed. But don't worry, nothing about Carmen's cancer was suspect, because though his diagnosis announcement coincided with a Kickstarter launch for his new album, just 1 year and $500,000 later, Carmen was cancer-free! Praise the Lord! These days, Carmen is fully back on his bullshit with a new album called Legacy, subtitled Hymns, Jams, and Stories. And according to his website, a new show called Carman, a cinema song experience with the tagline, it's a concert, it's a movie, it's a play, it's an experience. To book Carmen for your church today, call Ron Blackwood at 254-773-8466, a real number that's on Carmen's website. Watch out, On the Run 2 tour. So we listened to Carmen, specifically the 1984 album Coming On Strong, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun. How far can I go in the audience?
Hi, Kevin.
Are you safe? No answer so far. Ooh. Interesting.
Ooh, Easter weekend is not looking good for you three.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have some good
Christian fun! Great. I really like our setup right now. This is the set of
this rocks.
A Streetcar Named Desire, I think, right?
Caroline, what is good Christian fun? Just gonna get cozy over here. What is this podcast? What are we doing here?
This is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture.
Uh-huh.
We talk about movies.
Yeah.
Music.
Uh-huh.
Comic books.
Entertainers. Multi-hyphenates like Carman. By the way, who here pronounces it Carmen versus Car... Does anyone say Carman? I know it's Carmen.
I say Carmen because his name was Carmen, M-E-N, and he changed it to Carman.
Oh, which I think
So I'm like, you did that on purpose. I'm gonna tell you what your name is.
That's a real John Leibowitz, John Stewart situation. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Newport, how's your heart? No one knew how to respond to that. It's such a on a spectrum of nuance question. Like, it's not binary, like, good, bad.
Yeah, you can't say yes or no.
How's everyone doing tonight? By round of applause. Tonight. Today. We're still...
At 2:30.
At 2:30. Guys.
Saturday afternoon.
We're doing a Saturday afternoon matinee show for a Christian podcast talking about Carmen. This is the dream. We're all a part of each other's dream right now. Our fondest hopes and wishes have been fulfilled today.
It goes downhill from here.
Woo-hoo! I mean, any other show you could attend. We are in Kentucky, right? Beautiful Kentucky.
Yeah.
I was confused because I woke up in Ohio and now I'm in Kentucky. I don't know how that works.
It's like a Walk to Remember moment for you.
I have not seen that movie. I'm just familiar with the soundtrack.
We get it. You're straight. Okay.
Oh, no,
oh. That's a chick movie.
I feel like it's very on brand that I would have seen that
actually,
movie.
Actually, yeah.
And loved it. I feel like it's not binary at all.
I would not be surprised.
How's that? I want to get to know the audience, though. Who here drove what they consider to be a pretty far distance to be here? How far did you drive, ma'am? How far did you drive to be here?
We drove 8 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
From where?
Why?
South Carolina. I grew up here, so it felt like a good drive.
Okay, good.
It's a good Christian drive. And I will say, these two are in a row unto themselves, which we have dimmed the sinner's seats.
And if or anyone, the lover's chairs.
Ooh, could be. Either way.
Yeah.
If anyone confesses the greatest sin, gets to sit here in the front row.
Yeah.
Could anyone beat 8 hours from South Carolina? That's amazing. Yeah, you win. Yay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow. Oh, man. And are you a Christian?
Yes.
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 Oh, wow.
Good.
100% strike rate
so far.
Very
good. Very good.
Hey, where are my atheists in the house? Hey!
a real party group.
This is incredible.
These are fun.
Agnostics, where are you at? Chosen people, where are you at? Our friend Kyvie backstage.
Cult leaders, where are you at?
Woo! I think that's us now, right?
That's us.
That is us.
This is our church.
What a thrill. Does anyone have any personal experience with Carmen himself? We have a gentleman in the second row. Sir, what is your personal experience with Carmen?
We got tickets to a show. I'd never heard of him, but we went. He gave away a jacket. I won the jacket.
What year was this? What year was
Oh, probably 2014.
So very recently, like right post-cancer.
Wait, was it his own jacket?
No.
He's just started auctioning off his own clothes. Who
He's
wants
like
this
clearing
boot?
Clearing out the closet.
Who wants this boot?
The tickets were my aunt's, but her parents were in the hospital, so they gave them to us. So I gave the jacket to them, but it was like a small, and I'm like 6'3", and so I stood up and he said, "Oh, here comes the whole football team," and it was the worst moment. I was just like...
Ooh, I love Carmen vamping and improvising.
Oh my God.
He made you put it on?
Yeah, like if you've seen Tommy Boy, like fat guy in a little coat, I'm just standing up there like, okay, let me go back to my seat now.
I wouldn't put it past him if he just started singing that at you.
No monsters. Carmen is a monster.
He is a monster.
Holy
I
hell.
I do believe it.
What? I did. Now I'm just thinking of like Carmen and improv scenes. Like, can I get a suggestion?
Oh, everyone, God.
I heard America. Thank you. Wow. How many of you grew up listening to Carmen? A lot of folks in the house. Who here has never heard of Carmen? Who here has never heard of this podcast, but they're here for some reason today? Oh, we got Leia there. Oh, wonderful. Well, you folks are in for a treat because we're getting into... We couldn't do Carman. Carman does sound like a superhero he's just a mechanic. Like, I'll fix your carburetor.
Mechanics are the real superheroes.
Yeah, and we don't say that enough, and we want to recognize them in Ohio and Kentucky.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
We just assume everyone in here is a mechanic. What do you think? Do we seem like coastal elites? You're all mechanics, right?
You're all kind of like Republican.
Mechanic,
like, yeah.
janitor. I will say, Caroline, three times since we've been in Ohio on this trip said, I feel like Emma Stone here. Because there were some very nice people that said hi to us yesterday. And you're like, oh, is this what Emma Stone feels like every day?
Someone got me coffee and I was like, gosh, I am Emma. I'm a star.
It's just a friend getting you coffee. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Best Carmen jam. Who? What's the vote for the best Carmen jam of all time?
Mission 316.
His take on the Mission Impossible theme. Mission 316.
I thought it was supposed to be like a pun on something, but it's not. It's just.
I mean, it's like Mission Impossible and John 3:16, but just cutting both of those in half. Put them together.
Carmen's a genius.
A clumsy portmanteau. I guess Carmen is a portmanteau itself. Oh boy. Oh, this feels really good, guys. We're so stoked to be here. This is the most relaxed I've ever been for a live show.
Truly.
It's 2:45 on a Saturday. We're all just chilling.
It's a small theater.
It's great.
You guys
We're
can
all
just
friends.
Go get a snack outside if you want anytime.
And we won't mind. We're your camp counselors for
I'm going to lay down
in
that
day.
Bed again.
We did think about, like, oh, what if all four of us just piled into the bed and did a... Maybe we'll say our prayers at the end of the show while kneeling at the... While kneeling at the bed. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Carmen, I grew up with a little bit. My mom had the CD of hymns that he sang, which is just, it's not this weird Al bullshit we heard on this album. Sorry and thank you and sorry for listening to this album for
the
show.
Yeah, sorry.
By the way.
Yeah.
But it was just like old hymns like, His name is wonderful, Jesus. My Lord. And it reminds me of Better Call Saul season one, where Saul's just like, just romancing old people. Because I just imagine Carmen coming into the nursing home like, his name.
Uh-huh. All the oxygen. Or the ADM service.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And all the octogenarians are like, oh, Carmen.
Dreamy.
Which I'm sure did happen. I'm sure it did happen at some point. Well, we're so delighted to see you all today. And we're so delighted that you guys would come out. This is such a fun, interesting show. Yeah. Are you guys ready to meet our guests for the episode?
Time.
Y'all ready? Well, folks, you'll never believe who they could be. They host a podcast of their own called Schmanners. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Travis and Teresa McElroy. Sing your praise to the Lord. Come on, everybody, stand up and sing one more. Hallelujah, sing your praise to the Lord.
Are you guys back
there?
I can
never tell you how many good that is. And I feel you just to sing.
Travis is resetting the stage.
For you.
Hey, are you all right?
Folks, Travis, Teresa.
Hello.
Thank
Hello.
You so much for joining us on the show today.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this album for the episode today.
I stayed with them this weekend, and I came out this morning, and they had just finished listening to the music,
mm-hmm.
and there was like a real like sad energy in the room.
You know when soldiers come back from war and there's a look in their eyes like they've seen some shit?
Here's the, okay. I just want to say, okay, who here listened to the album before for this taping?
For anybody? The episode.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I am so sorry.
Well, because
it's my fault. Because we were talking about what we would talk about, and Kev was like, we could do an album, maybe Carmen. I was like, yes, Carmen.
Oh, Carmen.
I remembered.
What? Pull your mic up.
Oh.
Thank you.
I remembered. I've never recorded
Amateur.
Anything before.
Yeah.
I remembered only the Lazarus song, and I remembered it. So fondly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to the album today.
Yeah. And when it came up, I looked at him and I was like, is this the one you like?
And the answer now is no.
Thank you so much for your service, friends.
Thank you.
Now, Travis, nice. We've talked to you about your guestimony, but Teresa, this is your first appearance on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining us. Yeah. What's your guestimony? What's your experience? Yes! Yes, queen. Yes, queen. What?
No, it's good.
Okay. What's your experience with faith stuff? What's your guestimony, as it were?
Well, I was raised Catholic,
mm-hmm.
And so...
I guess I was expecting a reaction to that. I don't know why.
It's
like when you name like a city, and it's like, yeah, so I was in Detroit, and people were like, woo, and like, oh, someone from Detroit. That's what I was expecting to happen.
Do we have any Catholics in the house today?
Hey!
The girl who hasn't heard of our show
is also
the Catholic girl.
As far as Catholicism
goes. You grew up Catholic.
It may have just been my experience,
mm-hmm.
but we were not exposed to any kind of like faith-based media. I didn't know who the VeggieTales were.
What?
I know.
Damn, that's sad.
The only show where that could get a gasp. She doesn't know Bob and Larry?
I know. I was in high school before I even heard the song Where's My Hairbrush, so I was like, I don't know what that's about.
Someone muttered in the audience, that's tragic. Which I don't disagree.
Right. The one like Jesus thing that I ever participated in was like my babysitter was Lutheran. And so they had like a summer camp, Bible camp thing.
Yeah.
Vacation Bible School.
Thank you.
Was it themed?
I don't remember. Oh. I went like twice because I would only go when she was babysitting. And that's where I learned the song Jesus Loves Me.
This I know.
Aww.
For
How
the
old
Bible
were you?
Tells me so.
Probably 5 or 6.
And did you like it?
I liked that song. I also liked
now,
the juice and cookies.
When you asked, True. Did you like it? I didn't realize you meant Vacation Bible School. I thought you meant that Jesus loves you.
Do you like that
Do you
foundational
like,
truth?
Sure.
That Jesus
we
cares about you
on?
Very deeply?
Sure.
Teresa, I'd like to tell you about the power of the Lord.
Oh, okay. Boy.
And how it can change your life. No, carry on.
And so that was really it. My Catholic experience was just go to church.
Did you connect with that in any way? Was there any prayer that you were saying? All right.
Hard pass.
Because everything that I experienced as part of that parish was like, the idea was, here's the stuff, just shut up about it. So like I went to church school on Wednesdays and we had workbooks and we read the workbooks and we colored in the workbooks, but I didn't open a Bible until I was probably in ninth grade. I'd never opened one.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever have like questions that you would ask in Sunday school or in class that they would be like, don't do that?
Mm-hmm. Oh. A lot of it got met with, it's a mystery.
Nobody knows. Wait, what's that tome over there? No, don't worry about it. It says Bible?
Yeah. So, I mean, I recall at one point trying to ask my confirmation teacher, because mm-hmm. when you're in ninth grade, you get confirmed in the church. And
you get your driver's license.
You get your driver's license. Yeah. Asking him, so after every prayer, we do this whole sign of the cross thing, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Is that, are we talking to three different people, or is it like the Father, comma, who is also the Son, comma, who is also the Holy Ghost?
Esquire the third.
Right, yeah. So like I couldn't tell in ninth grade. I had been going to this church for a decade. Wow. And I had no idea. No one had ever explained to me if these were separate people or the same. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, yes, it's a mystery.
Ooh, you know what? That reminds me of like the most frustrating dialogue on Lost. Or like those kind of TV shows where it's like, who's Jacob? You're not ready to find out. Yeah, that'll be all revealed later. Yeah. Where it doesn't create like a sense of, oh, I can't wait. It's like, shut up. Just talk
to
me.
That's not helpful.
What I want in that moment when it's like, who's Jay? Oh, you're not ready. I just want the like screenwriter to walk on camera like, I don't want to tell you yet.
Sorry.
Because I would like you to keep watching the show.
Yeah.
And like, if I'm tired, tell you, you won't like it. I don't know the answer either, honest.
And if he had said that, I don't really know the answer, that would have been better. Mm. Because for this whole like mysterious business, I just got really kind of burned out on it.
Yeah. Sure.
Now, you did end up doing like a Bible study group, right?
Right. Yeah. I, in college, joined a Bible study group that was it was more like a literature class.
Interesting.
So like we would go through and, you know, we started out with the King James Version. And
with the these and the thous, right?
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you would trace it back to look at like the Greek, and then you would trace it back to look at like the Aramaic. Oh. And like it was very scholarly. Okay. It wasn't as much about like, you know, like what I had assumed Christian faith was like, and like the love and the touchy feely and stuff like that.
No,
that's
very,
right.
We're very distant.
Just a lot of hugs.
So I had assumed it would be like that, but I went to this Bible study because it was very scholarly.
Sure.
So we did a lot of dissection of things like the different ways that you would what is that called? So when you
grunt?
When you take something from one language, translation.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So the different ways that translation affected meaning, and if you go back farther and farther and farther, you reach higher levels of clarity, because when people were translating things, they obviously came from a bias, and especially the King James
Version. Like when they made
the
Lord of the Rings movie, and it's like, where's that from the book?
Mm-hmm. Where's Bombadil?
Exactly.
So especially the King James Version had a
What's
lot
great is
of
that wasn't a joke, but it also was.
That's fair. That's the Council of Nicaea excising Tom Bombadil from our scriptures.
Bastards.
Hermeneutical pops. I'm sorry.
So at your Bible study, it wasn't like, okay, now that we've established the meeting, how do we apply this to our lives? And like, let's pray about it.
Absolutely
something.
Not. It was not like that at all.
That's
It was on one end, there's like reading poetry, and on the other end, there's like diagramming a sentence.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it was more diagramming a sentence than anything else.
That's interesting.
That's fun, getting out of a maze of words and languages and translations.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Some people find that fun, right?
It's kind of
I went to it for a long time. I have workbooks from that too.
Really?
We've moved them with us several times.
Wow.
They take up a whole room.
Yeah.
No, it's just three rather large volumes.
Very heavy volumes.
Yeah. You reference them constantly.
Oh, yeah. When we were at home, she couldn't stop talking about them.
She was like, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, in my kitchen, there's the cookbooks and then the Bible workbooks. Mm-hmm.
And where do you see yourself now, like on a spectrum of faith or not faith? Or
I would say that I'm leaning towards Christian between agnostic, mm-hmm. right? So if there's that kind of scale, agnostics in the middle towards Christian end. Because I definitely believe that there's something that loves in the universe. And I also believe that when you have love and you give love away, you get more. And so that's kind of like my idea of God in that way.
Sure, mm-hmm. yeah. You give love away to five people, and those people give it away to five more people.
And that's when you really start making money.
Exactly, yeah. Love money.
And we've got some interesting investment opportunities for you today.
Friends.
And eventually, people are making love for you.
Yes.
I got
you know what? I hear it.
Well, thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you very much. Give it up for her.
Give it up for Teresa.
That's hard to
now,
do.
Now, on the next episode, it'll be me and Teresa and Bebe, and you're going to ask Bebe about her
faith. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, we're just going to do it every generation of McElroy.
I mean, she goes to church. Sermon. We don't. You know? She's way into it.
Where are your parents, Bebe? She points to hell. Well, friends.
Speaking of hell.
Speaking of hell.
Oh, man.
I think it's time to dive in, friends. Come on, let's go. I'm diving in. Carman.
You took notes?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Carman. This is a man worthy of taking notes. Again, this is our first episode about Carman. It's not our last episode.
No.
We're launching a Within the Podcast miniseries just a bit. It's American Crime Story, Carman. The crime against music and humanity.
Let me say this.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Right off the bat, this album.
Coming on strong. 1984.
Here's the thing.
You're talking over your microphone like it's
I'm very loud. I don't know if I'm a
which is great for the people in the room, yeah. but not the people in the
Mom,
room.
Dad, are you fighting?
No.
We are.
Should we?
Is we're it fighting. My fault?
We're fighting.
Here's okay. the thing. We
I'm just trying to get you some good sound bites. Here.
Thank you. No, I'm glad you are.
We listened to the album this morning, and then I looked and saw it was only 36 minutes long. Doesn't feel that short. We had to stop it numerous times. Just like,
just take a breath.
There were several times when I was like, this is just a repeat and fade. I'm going to skip to the next song.
Uh-huh. Just move it along.
Well, it is funny to see like this is kind of like part of the origin story of Carman because it's not full on like where every song is 9 or 10 minutes long. It's just like spoken word. Italian beat slam poetry or whatever he's doing on those like 90s hits.
Gosh.
It is like a mashup of like pop trends and then a little bit of that Frank Peretti audiobook stuff, but not like all the way there.
He calls them sermon songs.
Cool. That's cool. Every sermon would be better if it was a song.
Or like music stories, I think what he called them too.
Music stories.
The thing about Carman.
That sounds like somebody who can't remember the word song. like a music story.
One of those.
Music stories.
I think if you're not familiar with Carman, and I have like just, I've just dipped my toe in. I'm not an expert on him.
And your toe is disease.
It's disgusting.
It fell right off.
You know, I am so glad that you did not enjoy it in that way.
Did you think we would?
I was like, love it.
Travis,
I was
Teresa,
like,
this
I don't
rocks.
Know if I can talk about how great this is because I can't.
Okay.
But no. The thing with Carman that I need to establish is like Carman is very important for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But
he has permeated the Christian sphere, even though I had never heard of him beforehand. He is like ingrained in people's lives in like a very deep way, which is insane because he is like a weird Italian Weird Al.
He's like an equivalent to one of those YouTube stars where you've never heard of them, but they have like 2 million
yes,
followers.
Yes.
And it's like, really?
If you want a good time, go to Carman's Facebook page and just start reading the comments that people
or
put
don't.
There.
I went to a Carman concert. when what? I was a kid.
Wow. Excuse me. Yeah,
what year was this, sir?
Oh, 2017. No.
last year.
It would have been, let's see, maybe 1993, 1994.
Okay. Mid-90s, like yeah. The peak Carmen.
Yeah, like yeah. Performing in a mega church was hell where yeah. the concert was.
Right.
Because my mom, inexplicably, really liked Carmen.
I will think say, there's an explanation.
Really liked the music, not the, like, I don't ever remember being like, he seems like an okay guy, but just enjoyed it. And I can tell you why it permeated so much.
Sure.
Oh, is great. Because it was fun Christian music
okay.
that was also like, that was also like.
An aggression.
Yeah, that felt like, it literally is, like, listening to it today, it feels, right? It feels the same as, like, the moment in like a church service where everybody's like getting into it
uh-huh.
inexplicably and suddenly like, oh, we really went through something there. You know, like that's uh-huh. every Carmen song is like, oh, we really went through something there.
Yeah.
And depending on what tone of voice you use, it's true.
and I don't think he's like an untalented man. I just think he's using his powers for evil
not sound
rather
very
than
talented.
For good.
Well, and that's the thing. It's not good music. It is lowest common denominator music,
LCD?
Right?
Because yeah.
it's like really, like, okay, so. The
we
song-
kept saying while we were listening to it, this sounds like a MIDI file.
Yeah.
Like it was just.
It yeah. sounds like fake music you might use in a TV show.
This sounds yeah. like fake music?
Love a live band.
Yeah,
this is, actually. I
think that this was on my keyboard. You could just press it.
I couldn't.
This is a GarageBand preset now, right?
While this was playing, I was listening to it. Like, what does this remind me of? And it's the theme song to Team America World Police. Like, right?
Yeah.
America!
Fuck yeah!
Coming again to Atlanta. Yeah, which he would sing if he could. If he could right? use those words. This is Get Out of My Life.
Let's which, put your sickness and pain.
He doesn't sound Italian in this song like he does in the pizza song.
I mean, that's fair. I think.
Oh, when he does Crazy Louie?
Yeah.
When after this song played and then the next song started, Teresa said, was he just doing a country accent on that last one? I'm like, yeah.
He does play characters in yes. all of his songs. Yes. He's yes. kind of the Daniel Day-Lewis of CCM. I don't think that's an overstatement to say. Carmen is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis wishes.
Yes. So I pulled that phantom thread. Oh, boy. I actually kind of, I like the sound of that song, even as cheap and
crappy. Get Out of My Life?
Yeah, because okay. I can make it, so it feels attainable.
Well, here's the thing. What it reminded me of, who here has watched Teen Titans Go? Nope. Okay.
Oh, there's a few people okay. sheepishly raising
there
their
is,
hands.
There is a thing where they, like, bought this song from like a, you know, like a collection of like music made specifically for like, do you need a song that sounds like something? You can buy this from this catalog
made
and use
by
it
like studio musicians.
Right. And then they loved that song so much that it became like this huge story point. Right. And it kind of sounds a little bit like this, but super good. But it's this feeling of like, you can make a song that sounds like real synthy
sure.
and fake and like, lean way into like, yeah, we're making like a synthy fun song mm-hmm. and it'd be like, this is so awesome. This isn't that though.
Right.
But it's like eating like fake food where like this kind of reminds me of chocolate,
oh, yeah.
I guess.
It's like it banana like flavored bar. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Of music.
Yeah, there were multiple times where I was listening and I was like, I just wish he was just a dad with like a hobby.
Right.
And he just did this in his spare time, and then he was like, just for his son to be embarrassed about, and then he could move on.
Son, come into the garage. Get out of my life. It's
oh,
cool,
very
Dad.
Good, Dad.
It's good.
I love
this,
it.
It does. Yes, Carmen very much feels like he is a, like, he should be a rock star at his church
yeah.
where he plays these songs, and then he goes back to like being a teacher or something on the weekdays. And,
yeah.
But oh, on Sundays, he puts on his cool leather jacket.
Big and, like, fish in a little pond.
Yeah, right. That's what it should be.
Right.
But also, he's super famous
he's
in the Christian world.
He's extremely famous. Yeah.
I this podcast is going to end up with me and Caroline going to a Carman concert.
Oh boy.
And we're doing it for you.
This is what you wanted.
At the Carman concert that I went to.
Yes, please. Talk
when
about
he
that.
Was doing Lazarus, like everybody was like singing it with him, and he had like
that
fog
was the
machines
song you
going.
Really wanted to
yes,
hear, right?
He had fog yeah. machines going and like
it's
lighting
effects.
It's
kind of his big song.
Yeah, and so I remembered it as being this like epic like show, and then I listened to it and I was like,
ooh,
nothing happens in this song
except
and then,
a play.
And then there's a play.
Yeah,
and
there's
Teresa
a
looked
it.
At me and was like, is this just a biblical who's who? Yeah.
It's just name checking. It's like hashtag rap or
yeah,
something for the Bible.
Yeah, let's listen to that. I'd like to listen to his acting.
This song is 6 minutes and 30 seconds long. We will not listen to all of it.
Yes,
we, don't
we
hate
will.
You.
Please no.
Okay, so far, the lyrics have not started.
There is a part
setting
of this song, if you haven't listened to it, and it sounds made up, but there is a huge chunk of this song that is just people from the Bible comparing how well they know God. And not like no facts about them, but like how it's personally like, close they are. And uh-huh. like going one more like, oh yeah? Well, he saved me from a big fish once. Oh yeah? Well, and then it's like Lazarus is like, well, I knew, like I hung out with him. Oh wait, he's calling me back from heaven. Gotta uh-huh. go.
Yeah. Which, and the premise is that they're all in the afterlife. But they're still talking about God like he's not there.
I want to talk about you guys. Yeah.
So to be Stop. Clear, this is a ghost disciple dick measuring contest about your proximity to the Lord.
Yes.
Not Justin Bieber, but the Lord.
A quick God's plane. Jesus raised Lazarus
Wait, hold
from
on.
The dead.
Hey, Lazarus. Hey, Lazarus. Come forth.
Ooh, that's that drama 101, friends. What was the God's plan?
Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah, and not only that, it's more fucked up than that. Because what it is Mary and Martha, right?
Yeah.
We're like, hey, Jesus, our brother Lazarus is super sick. We're devoted followers of yours. You have the power to heal him. And Jesus waited till Lazarus died to show the true power of God. And then in the Bible, it's written like Mary and Martha are like, even better. I don't think that's how that went down. Like, okay, cool, thank you. But like, you did make us go through something
Seriously?
First.
Yeah.
I do like the, just... idea, the idea of Jesus being like, maybe I will.
We'll see.
Play your cards right.
Can I tell you that so incomplete was my Bible study at one point. Where they said that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. I was like, is he still around? Is Lazarus alive?
He and that's how we know so much about Jesus.
And he's a senator now. Lazarus of Ohio.
Yeah, to be fair, that's not far off, because I think it's like Methuselah, right, that didn't die, just went into heaven in a chariot. Just
Ezekiel,
a living...
No,
what?
Ezekiel, I think?
Was Moses? No. I don't
who even knows?
Any Dunker biblical scholars or theology majors in the house tonight?
Okay. Who ascended to heaven on a chariot instead of dying? Elijah. Okay.
Thank you.
So,
I knew it was an E.
Do you think it's weird for Elijah to be the one living person in heaven? Just keeps falling through the clouds and the angels have to hold him up the whole time?
I think according to the Catholic Church, isn't Mary alive too?
Oh,
she
no.
She was ascended as well. The ascension of Mary, that rings a bell.
The ascension.
I just want to know if I like try to touch him, will my hand go through them when I'm in heaven?
Ow!
That's what you're worried about in heaven?
Yeah.
I'm worried about telling him how well I knew Jesus. Oh, yeah?
I got a story.
I did a podcast
also,
about him.
There is a, there's a part. Whoa! There's a part where Jonah's
in
explanation.
The song.
Yes, in the song, there's a part where Jonah's explanation of how
it's
close
still
he
going
is
on in the background. By the way, we're at minute four.
Wait, is this the part where they're talking? Oh my god! Wait, go back. I want to hear all of them talk.
Okay. Are we here?
Daniel cried out. I knew him in a hunger den of lions.
He's
hungry.
Hungry.
Started to dance. Lazarus got so excited, he shouted, hey, I knew him too.
Danny Post from Greece? Stick, said,
hey,
a little?
Some of Jesus.
Needless to say, the room got real quiet when Lazarus said, but I knew him
in a way that y'all never did.
Biblically.
Biblically?
I did not walk with them and talk with them. I saw how his teachings awed the crowds.
Okay.
His famous tears of compassion, I could actually see.
I licked
Man,
him up.
He used to come over to my house at church.
What?
And my sisters would make him dinner every month. I even supported his ministry.
Okay.
See, man, I watched him.
Daniel Day Lewis.
I was there when he fed the 5,000. I heard the people gasp when he healed the lame. You see, man, I remember the littlest things, the things most folks would forget, like the simple, loving way he just called my name.
Call me by your name, Jesus.
Jesus started to say. You see, fellas, it just seemed like yesterday. I could hear
James
that
James
Hill. As a matter of fact, it seemed like today I don't.
Lazarus.
Excuse me, brothers. I think I hear him calling now. What?
Lazarus.
Jesus.
Lazarus.
Jesus.
Lots of light effects.
Jesus. Jesus. Hey, Jesus.
Lazarus. Come home.
That is kind of fun.
And millions of panties flew onto the stage for Carmen.
Wow. Quick question. Just raise your hand if you think Carmen is hot.
Caroline. No.
Yeah.
Someone thinks Carmen's hot? No, you don't.
No. A
little bit. Oh, think about it.
No, okay, but real quick, there's also a part in that breakdown where Jonah says, well, God gave me a second chance. That's not the story of Jonah. It's not like, yeah. How well did you know him, Jonah? Oh, super great. Gave me a second chance. Didn't he put you in a big whale or something? No, that's what I meant.
That was the chance.
Uh-huh. I guess. But that's not how I summarize the story of Jonah. Oh, well, it's a story where God gives Jonah a second chance.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is that really the main point of that story?
Jonah's
yeah,
the
I think
hero.
So.
I love all these mind games God and Jesus play with Jonah and Lazarus. Yeah. Like, maybe.
I really like whenever someone does the voice of God, like what they think that sounds like.
Because it's always roughly the same. It's like a James Earl Jones thing.
Yeah.
Nobody ever does like, hey, Lazarus, why don't you come up on stage?
Although I wouldn't put it past her and be like, hey, Lazarus, come on out of the tomb.
Yo, Lazarus.
Italian God wants you up over here. And speaking of Italian stuff.
The pizza song.
Pizza!
Oh, my God.
We don't have pizza, I'm sorry. But we do have a song called Spirit-Filled Pizza.
Yep.
Where, I'm so sorry we're making you listen to this, guys. It's like, I'm in the middle of The Godfather or something.
It makes me feel racist listening to it.
That's a spicy Jesus.
Technically, it's xenophobic.
Thank you. It makes me feel xenophobic. It makes me feel ill.
It's still not the most racist song
on this
album. No.
Well, I was sitting in the kitchen with my cousin Frank.
Oh, hey.
You know Frank.
Right around the corner at Uncle Angelo's to sell a pizza for half a price. Well, old Cheech wanted pizza even more than me.
Here's the thing. So the accent he's doing makes this song incomprehensible to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, what? What did you say?
Wait, huh?
To be clear, the narrative of the story is... Well, here, listen. Yeah.
Well, I was starting to worry, so I called in a hurry a bartender I know named Pete. Now, where he'll find out if he don't already know what's happening on the street. He said that crazy Louie seen Frankie walking
I love the
to a
voices.
Church and wants to know what it's all about. He said the Frankie that I see walking to that place ain't the Frankie that I see walking.
Oh, okay. So basically, someone goes to get a pizza and instead they get saved. That's the story of the song. I'll save you the 3:32.
Yes.
Someone goes to get a pizza.
Thank you for that, because I was confused. Were they making the pizza?
I also love the idea that, like, because this is a thing that happens a lot in, like, Christian pop culture, of this idea of, like, there's something different about them.
What
is it about them that's... That has never happened in the real world. No one's ever been like, I'm noticing something different about Frank.
He's got something I like.
What's up? That's not a thing that happens.
No.
At most, it's like someone like, hey, so I'm really into Jesus now. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Maybe they smell like frankincense.
I think that's why they call him Frankie.
Maybe.
Ooh, connection. You did study those languages, yo. Wow.
Also, another, I don't know why I'm like PolitiFact, fact-checking
Carmen? Sons, no, it's also, worth it.
There's a running theme in Spirit-Filled Pizza is like, I claim your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not how that process works.
Yeah.
You don't walk up to someone else and say, I claim your life in the name of Jesus Christ, and now they're saved. That's not
right.
How that works.
Because Crazy Louie gets saved, and then he just starts going out to all his mobster friends. Yeah, and I claim your life in the name of Jesus. That's me.
It's not Pokemon. You can't just claim them all.
Ah, you got me.
Or is it Pokemon?
But to me, that seems like kind of a charismatic sort of vibe to it.
Totally.
And not to dunk on it, but I do notice a theme on Carman where he does like incantations and he really enjoys that.
Oh yeah.
He's got such televangelist DNA throughout all of the stuff that he does.
Yeah, and telling Satan to bite the dust and like, get out of my life in the name of Jesus. And
Oh yeah, we didn't talk about the lyric in that first song, it's checking all the boxes of what we need. First line on the album, Satan, I'm tired of the games you play, the way you mess me around. You accuse my brethren of sins forgiven that kick them while they're down. And now I'm going to punch you in the dick. Whoa. It's in the song, guys.
It says that.
Yes, says that.
Dang.
What I was having in my head listening to it, it was really hard not to replace like Satan with like Susan.
And sure.
Like, oh, no.
Oh, it's like a lot of singer-songwriters in the 70s and 80s, like, there's that Beatles song that's like, I'm going to hit you if you cheat on me. Like, there's so much misogyny and stuff.
But it was just like, the song is called Get Out of My Life. It feels really personal.
Susan,
like,
get out of my life.
As though, like, Satan was Carmen's roommate. And it's just like, I have had it up to here. We're done.
You never do the dishes when I ask you to, Satan.
I know you stole my jacket.
Leaving your everywhere. Just keep tripping over your tail.
And to continue with this, cultural appropriation buffet.
Oh, God.
Let us turn our attention to Blessed Is He Who Comes.
Great title.
On a carnival cruise.
All night
under the
long.
Sea.
Let's go to Gullah Gullah Island.
Vinya.
Yeah.
It's vacation, Carmen.
Now there's one thing about using the music style. That's, you know, that's appreciating some music. Let's listen to the voice.
On a little donkey, 2,000 years ago.
Donkey!
Christ rode into Jerusalem so all the world would know. He was fulfilling prophecy and everyone could sing. And worship their Savior, Messiah and King. And they sang Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Duh. For some reason, it's the duh that, like, it's in the name of the Lord.
D-Lord.
That's the part that, like, that's
the bad part.
And he told his backup singers, like, not the, duh.
Duh. It's like that song Shut D-Doe by Randy Stonehill.
No. No. White people don't get to sing that.
You don't get to sing that. You don't have the right. It's a great song by Phillips Craig and Dean.
Remain silent. When you've been arrested
by God's grace. We should have just played that in a loop for this show. Because that song rocks.
That song does
now,
rock.
Now, here's what I can't stop picturing in my head. As he's laying down this track, you know, headphones on, that there's like a team of producers and shit like behind the glass going, yeah!
We're killing it!
Nailing it, Carmen!
I wanted him at some point in this song to be like, let's give Jesus a pina colada.
We jamming.
Island time.
We done redeemed.
Oh boy. God.
They did try to get Carmen to write the score for Cool Runnings after this song. And he said, no.
And wonder listen, why. It's not, the album was 1987, so it's not like Carmen 84. Was the... Wait, really?
Yeah.
Spotify said 87.
Oh, a discrepancy.
Oh. It's not like Carmen was the only person who was like a culturally appropriating things and like doing really heinous shit.
Sure.
And everyone's going, you're killing it.
Yeah.
But I also am willing to bet he still performs this song. But
oh,
he still
absolutely.
Does this live, right?
Yeah. That's always the litmus test of an artist's evolution, no matter if they're Christian or secular. What songs are they still doing and in what context? Mm-hmm. For example, if you write a song about emotional women when you're like 19 years old and you continue to sing them when you're 39 years old, that's something to consider.
That's a problem.
Something to look into. Same thing with Carmen. Does anyone follow Carmen on setlist.fm to see what he's up to?
What he's doing?
I will not. Teresa's taking a hard stance.
To be fair, he's probably at this point just singing songs that are like, and I hate gays. Like, he's probably just going for it. In fact, on this album.
On this speaking album.
There was a song on this album that's just like, he just like, used all the lines that they made him cut from other songs. So it was like, okay, can I just do this one song where I just read the list?
This is the problem with Carmen's political songs, I found, is all of the topics are, they're all the same, and we must compound them into one and therefore like ruin whatever gravitas or seriousness you would have given him. Because in this song, we'll listen to it.
We'll listen.
Do we have to?
He goes after pimps, whores, politicians, abortions, Wall Street, game shows, gambling, children at schools, and the government, of course. But maybe we should take a listen for something even worse than that, too.
Maybe we should. Well, actually, let's get to our final thoughts about this album as a whole before we transition into listening to that song in particular.
That song changes everything.
It does change everything, So
this album rules. I don't know how...
Travis, Teresa, the way this works is we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down in the form of a holy toast or a holy roast. Holy toast, we're somehow sending Carmen to heaven. Holy roast, you don't get to see the dab on the podcast.
It's every time.
Holy roast. We're going to send Carmen to hell where he can punch Satan all he wants.
He would like that.
I think so.
I think he really would.
Yeah. So we'll start with Travis and go down the line. Travis, how you falling down on this one?
You know, it's tough to say.
Yep. Game day decision.
There, and this is not hyperbole.
Sure.
There was not a second of this album I enjoyed. Start to finish.
Not even Lazarus?
Not even the drum machine?
No. In fact, I hated Lazarus the most.
What? Because you remembered it so fondly.
Because I remembered it like this. Okay, but this one ruled. Like, I kept thinking, all these songs are terrible, but when we get to Lazarus...
It'll be worth it.
I will be proved right that it's kind of a jam. It's not. And it hurts so much. It was like, I wish I could travel back in time to young Travis and be like, don't. Wipe this from your memory, son.
What would you replace it with?
So roast.
Okay. Holy roast, okay.
Two AG double hockey sticks.
Thank you.
I'm going to also go with holy roast because I think Carmen would really enjoy punching Satan.
Yeah. So. We're doing Carmen a favor.
We're doing him a favor.
It is great, too, because it's always fun. I'm sure we all play this game. How would they be tormented by Satan in hell, right? It's a fun game, right? You think about sinners.
We all play this game?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure we all, because I think for
I've been
Carmen,
watching The Good Place. I do play that game.
Sure.
I think Carmen would get there and be like, I'm ready to punch Satan in the dick. And then Satan would be like, ah, but Carmen, here, I punch you in the dick. No!
Oh, no! He's going to punch me in the dick.
I think Carmen's hell would be not being able to do any accents ever.
Or maybe he goes to punch Satan in the dick and always stops like 1 inch.
Carmen. Okay. It's hard.
Carmen.
You scamp.
It's hard to even just...
Say his name.
Assess this album because... On top of this album being a pile of trash, excuse the language, I also just on a personal level do not trust him. I don't like him. I find him to be like the definition of like false and kind of gross. And even unrelated to this too, the way he has exploited his own cancer story at every turn to sell his life coaching It's all gross.
We're going to do a deep dive on that later in the podcast. Again, this is the first of a long mini series on the podcast.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So I have to if there was a double roast, that's what I would like to give to him.
A double roast? Unprecedented on the Good Christian Fun podcast. Is there a sub hell we're sending him to? We send him to hell, and then we send him to hell's
to the
version
worst
of hell.
And it's like, it's fine.
Send him to hell, and then Satan's like, hey, get out of my life, Garland.
Please, not him.
You're a little much for me, even.
Whoa. Is there no other place we can put this dude?
There can only be one of us down here.
Even for Lucifer himself, this isn't.
Wait a minute. Lucifer. Lucifer's pizza. Pizza? Is Carmen Satan? No, he's not.
Well, hard to say.
Well, friends, it may surprise you that I would get... there are certain things, unlike Travis, there are seconds of this album I do like. There are seconds. I like...
Whole seconds?
Whole seconds. Whole, 10-second stretches before he starts singing. I'm like, it's kind of a bop. It's kind of a jam. And then the words come, and I don't anymore. But that being said, those instrumentals and those drum machines notwithstanding, it's bad. It's hateful. Caroline puts it well. And we've put in this dichotomy before. Sometimes people are screwing up and they're screwed up. And you have to, we're all screwed up in some way. We're all a little bit problematic in some way. And you have to have, best faith in them. I have no faith in Carmen. I have no faith for his trajectory, especially now. The newly married Carmen as of December. I'm giving a holy roast. Unanimous holy roast from the podcast. Bye-bye, Carmen. Have fun punching Satan in that devil dick. But we're not the final word on this. You're the final word, dear listener. So go to @ChristianFunPod on Twitter. You can give it a holy toast if you want to.
Or don't do that publicly. If you disagree with us, keep that in your heart. Locked away.
Or just give your reasons, because there's
something
bad.
I would love if we could walk out the door today and never think about this album again.
Yeah.
And this is as a person who has far too many times in my life mistakenly said, but I think Lazarus was a good one. I want to just wipe it. I want Eternal Sunshine. What? Carmen?
Okay, now, given a Twilight Zone situation, you're the last man on Earth. There's no culture left, but you find a vinyl of Coming On Strong.
I'd eat it.
You eat it and then shoot yourself in the ears to make yourself go deaf, so there's not even a chance of you hearing
it. Shoot yourself in the ears?
And you stab yourself in the eye so you don't have to look at the vinyl cover.
And then cut your dick off so you can't think about it getting
exactly,
punched.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, go to @ChristianFunPod and
Pokemon go to the polls.
Yeah, miss you, girl. Now we'll find you out in the woods somewhere. Before we transition into the next segment, I do want to take an opportunity. If there's any questions that people have about Carmen, any questions from the audience about?
I have one. Why?
Sure. Any questions about any of his songs or songs on this album in particular? Oh, and I'll give this preface, too. Make sure it's a question. At our last live show, there was about half of them that are like, this isn't a question, but... And then they talked. So let's make sure they're a question. So does anyone have any questions about Carmen? Oh, we got one in the front row over here. Your name and your question.
I'm Kira. So as far as a battle between the righteously indignant people... In a cage match to the death, who do you think would win, Carmen or Kirk Cameron?
Wow. This is a good question. This is what I'm talking about. The good people of Kentucky/Ohio.
Real quick, Teresa is going to head backstage to help take care of, our child.
BB.
So, bye, Teresa.
Give it up for Teresa. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you for having me.
The truth is, Teresa works with Kirk Cameron, and we just put her in a very awkward position.
Very
I have an NDA. I did witness a fight between Carmen and Kirk Cameron, but I'm not allowed to talk about it.
So this question is good. I've seen the movie Fireproof with Kirk Cameron, and I've seen the pure animal strength that man has.
What the hell?
To throw an empty trash can against a wall, lightly. I haven't seen Carmen... physically.
Here,
but
we will though. Mark my words.
So I'm trying to think of any demonstration of strength that he has, but I don't know.
Here's the thing, right? The answer to that is not a single blow would ever be thrown. Because what would happen is, like, I guarantee, Carmen, a lot of bluster. A lot of, like, I'm yeah, let's do it. Come on, I'm going to fight you.
Yeah,
and
I see that.
Like, jump around a lot. Mm-hmm. And then Kirk Cameron would be like, you know, it's interesting you say fight. Reminds me of a story in the Bible.
Yeah. And then Carmen would kill himself because he wouldn't want to hear it.
And Carmen would be like, what? Oh, as soon as you're done with this story, I'm going to punch you. And then enough time would pass that the crowd would dissipate.
Yeah.
And they would just go home.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, sure. Any other questions? Oh, yes, your name and your question.
Hi, my name is Stephanie, and if you were to create a reality show where you locked Carmen in a room with someone else and watched them for a month, who would it be?
Kevin.
What the hell, Travis? You're supposed to be my friend. I would... I would put him in with the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy guys.
Yes.
Yes.
There's nothing those men couldn't fix.
Oh my gosh, they'd make him so much better.
They would humanize Carmen. An impossible
task. Or they would kill him.
They're like, not this one, we can't.
Either way, love wins. Any other questions about... Yes, ma'am, your name and your question.
Hi, I'm Tori, and I was just wondering, how serious do we think Carmen takes himself? Like, this album is called Coming On Strong. Does he know?
The question is, does he know?
Because the album is titled Coming On Strong, and there's a song called Blessed He Who Comes. What's he doing? Carmen!
Okay. Well, Carmen hasn't been married until a couple years ago, so we can assume... Carmen's been a virgin for a long time.
Here's the thing.
Here's
my suspicion about that. Is on some level, I think when he started, right, it was a little bit. I mean, if you listen to this album, like especially like he has a song titled "Spirit Filled Pizza," right? I think there is a little bit of that. I think there is a little bit of that, like
winky
quality. Uh-huh. But I guarantee, as time went on, especially someone isn't a faith healer and also self-aware. That's it. Those two things, those two things don't go together, right? And so, like, I think that over time, and I think this happens with a lot of, like, mega church pastors, and it's like, did they just get into this? No, I think that they started maybe with good intentions of, like, I feel moved, and then eventually they're buying, like, $5 million private jets. Right, and I think Carmen's there now.
There now.
You think Carmen started pure and he got corrupted?
No. I think Carmen maybe had 2% like winking, and that's gone now.
Yeah, we beat all the winkies out of Carmen over time. Now, friends, I think it's time we transition into the hunt for the worst Carmen song of all time.
The worst.
Some of you sang it. That's so good. I was kind of at a loss because so many of these are video oriented, but we just wanted to do audio for today. But there is one song. There's one song in this album, the closer, the aforementioned closer, that name checks a lot of different kinds of folks.
Y'all.
So let's listen to a little bit of it. This is the closer from Coming On Strong.
You know how sometimes you hear a thing or see a thing, and you're like, oh, I think that that's coded language. I think that there's... And then you hear this song, and you're like, okay, all right, there it is.
Nothing
all right.
Code necessary.
No codes to break.
This is the light of Jesus to the world. Sounds nice. Sounds not iffy.
Loving, maybe.
Sounds loving. All right, the light of Jesus to the world. Oh, this is great. Feels good.
It's the only song on the album that might have a real instrument.
I was gonna take the shield of faith.
Okay.
Huh?
Out into the ghettos.
Oh.
And witness to the street gangs of the night.
MS-13. That's my favorite line, by the way. Street gangs of the night.
I was gonna be the bold.
Daytime ones are Christians.
Tell the pimps and the prostitutes the affection that they crave is found in Christ. We'll take the breastplate of righteousness into this country's schools and preach holiness to every boy and girl. Well, it's you and and it's me who witness for the Savior and be the light of Jesus to the world. Tell me who walks on and gird their loins with truth and stand and say abortion is a sin. Who will confront the politicians with all of their deception and say in heaven God won't let liars in? Who'll take the helmet of salvation out into Wall Street and teach wealth is more than cars, diamonds and pearls? Well, it's you and it's me who'll take the cross of Calvary and be the light of Jesus to the world. Cause it's you and it's me, we are the world's examples. Our government won't teach us how to pray. Tell me, when was the last time you witnessed to your neighbor and told him that Jesus is the way? Because they're dying out in Vegas, they think gambling's the answer. In Hollywood, they're lost in lust for fame. The homosexual in San Francisco's trapped in vile bondage. And in Miami, drugs still play their hellish game. Someone has to walk this gospel of peace throughout our nations. Our TV game shows won't clear out our jail.
What?
Because it's you and it's me.
Wait, is he talking about Running Man? And game shows clearing out jails? Is he talking about Running Man or Death Race?
No, no.
Okay. That was the light of Jesus to the world.
Now, there's almost too much to talk about to even try.
Okay.
What?
Well, I think there's a variety of questions we could ask about this song. I like that he has such specific targets.
Yes.
Okay, sometimes music isn't perfect. Sometimes I'll listen to a song and like a lyric, like someone will include something just for a rhyme, right? Mm-hmm. If you analyze it too hard, you're like, oh, that doesn't, nobody says that phrase. Or
it's
kind of
nonsense,
right?
It's like filler.
This song, that's not the issue, but there is countless stuff where it's like, for example, in Miami, where drugs play their evil game.
You know, the drug town.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. When cocaine goes and plays craps.
Yeah, and he says, like, in Vegas where people are dying and they think that gambling's the answer. Who? What?
Who's like,
dying, oh, no.
Pulls a slot machine as they're like,
it didn't work.
The answer.
Game shows.
When he says homosexuals are trapped in vile bondage.
In San Francisco.
You think he means literally? Like, it's such a specific...
Like he's into BDSM stuff?
It's such a specific...
I mean, it's obviously comically awful and bad, but we do need to talk about the damage of this song and the mindset of this song, too. It's so unbelievably condescending to... And none of the song ever mentions, like... And I have problems too.
Yes.
It's all they. And like, what are we doing about it? Get off your ass, you know? And also I was thinking about this as I was listening, like being Carmen's neighbor must be bad.
Yeah.
Hey, did I mention? It's
yes.
Easter this weekend.
Yes. You were over here yesterday. Go ahead.
Yeah. But anyway, it is very like hostile and aggressive and alienating song. And if you were one of these people in this groups, I think Carmen probably thinks you hear that and you're like, wow, he really cares about me. And tell me about this Jesus guy. But really, it's just like, wow, you're a huge prick. Thank you. I mean, get out of here.
Well, this is so we started talking about like, why was this so popular? And the reason is it is feel good music for people who think the same way Carmen does. So right. When I was still going to church, the pastor that I like knew for like the first 14 years of my life, who was the pastor of our church, retired. And we got a new pastor. And a new pastor, his whole thing was like, hey, so because it's all about like going out and witnessing to people, right? His thing was like, hey, before you do that, you have to get your own stuff in order. And if you aren't dealing with your own stuff, how can you go out and tell other people about their stuff? Mm-hmm. And the church did not like that.
What?
And they tried to fire him. And he barely, like, they cool. held like a congregation like wide meeting they did like raise your hands if you want to keep him, raise your hands if you want to fire him, and he just barely got to keep his job. And after that he changed his sermons to suit that of like, yeah. And so that is why Carmen is popular, because it is literally him going, it's not you, it's those pimps and prostitutes and those people. And you go, yeah.
Externalizing the issue. So there's nothing that you yourself have to deal with.
You don't
with
have to wait. Hey, just tell Satan to get out of your life. And it's like, hey, maybe I'm dealing with like actual issues. No, it's Satan.
It's Satan.
It's all Satan's problem. It's like, okay, but I also have a lot of stuff in my own life I need to. No, it's Satan.
Oof.
Yeah. And I also, are pimps known for getting into the pimp game because they seek affection?
Is I that, want someone to love me. A pimp I'll be.
Is that common? Like, oh, those pimps always seeking affection.
He's talking to the women. He's like, but do you like me?
Hey, we're friends, right?
Do you guys ever just want to hang out? I don't know. Outside of work. You
awkward
know, like
water cooler situations. At the pimp office.
Maybe we'll go to karaoke. I don't know.
We could just, I just got a box set. We could just, I don't know, watch it, like TV, whatever you want.
Yeah, he
whatever.
Picks up two of his workers in the car, and he's like, he mutters under his breath, you guys are my family.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. I would die for you. What?
And I also thought about it, because you mentioned it was hostile. It literally is like him listing, the first thing he says is like, who will take the shield of faith? And it's like, it is literally like, who will arm up? Like, who will mount up and get out there and fix the world? It is not just like aggressive, it is literally
it's
aggressive.
Militant.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of like fetishization of military imagery. Even the VBS, the song that you think is so innocent when you're a kid, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. What?
What? Huh?
I'm gonna kill the enemy. Yes, sir. Like, ooh. It's bad. It's bad. So it's a cross section of that. So that's that song. But we found another song that might be a worthy contender to pit against it. Maybe trafficking some of the same issues. This is actually a cut from Carmen's newest album, Legacy. I'm not going to name the song. We're going to figure out what it is as the song goes on. And it'll become evident pretty quick. So here we go. This is contender number 2. It's fun. Fun.
Not a lot of musical evolving.
No.
He came down the escalator. He said, November, I'm the man who's going out to Washington and kicking a few cans. Our trade deals are awful and health care's a dump. So pack your bags, political hacks. I'm going to drain the swamp because I'm T.R.
I'm sorry.
The left's going crazy. The media's stumped. Afraid someday they'll have to say for President Trump.
It's
so
not over.
Clueless. Little Marco is small. He said Lion Ted ain't never said one thing that's true at all. What do we do about Hillary too and all her email stuff? The people still say every day, man.
Sisters on tea are
UMP.
No, 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 no,
no. It's for me.
It's going crazy. The media stumped. Afraid someday they'll have to say the President Trump.
Your guys' faces are so sad.
He said, I'll handle Russia. China ain't no sweat. Mexico, still don't know who they dealing with yet.
Oh my God.
I'm telling all illegals, so hear me one and all. I got news, I'm changing the rules. I'm still gonna build that wall.
All right.
Wouldn't it be great if just in the middle of that song, when he got to like Hillary, he's just like, and Hillary actually has some good ideas. And I think
it was nuanced.
I respect
it's
her
actually
experience.
Hard to know where I land on this because I do think she would do a good job, but ideologically, we do differ on a lot.
There's misogyny in the media when reporting her, but still.
It's hard to get a good opinion of it because, you know, she has to be a little performative. She has to make her way in a male-dominated world.
It's right, right.
It's possible that reporters are intimidated by a strong female presence.
Anyways, I forgot what I was saying, but I guess what I'm saying is, you know, politics is a very nuanced issue, and when it really comes down to it, it's...
So this is, what is, like, the infinity version of preaching to the choir at this point?
This is like, okay, when I was a kid... My parents got
this song
me,
is called The President Trump Blues, by the way.
My parents got me this book made where what you do is you tell them your kid's name and like three things they like, and then they just like plug that into the book. That feels like President Trump called Carmen and said, hey, could you write a song about me? My name is Trump, and I like a wall, and I don't like reporters. And Carmen said, you got it, buddy.
I think Carmen is Secretary of State now.
Yeah.
By the time this podcast comes out, Carmen will be Secretary of State.
The comfort in all of this is we just did March Madness, and his song, America, again, won the worst Christian song of all time.
It did.
So whatever happens, like, he's winning.
We know.
Yeah.
He got the Carmy Award. That's what we call it in the March Madness
In honor
tournament.
Of him.
The Carmies.
Which is worse? Which is worse?
I, honest to God, here's the thing. I think that Donald Trump would listen to that second song and be like, ooh. Too much. Too much.
Can you get your lips off my ass,
all right,
please?
Dude, I get it. I get it. Whoa.
Listen, I'm not
coming on pretty strong.
Okay.
Coming on strong. What's the name of the...
Well, let's take the temperature of the audience a little bit. Who thinks that the President Trump Blues is the worst Carmen song of all time?
Okay.
And who thinks The Light of Jesus to the World is the worst Christian song of all time? A significant amount more for The Light of the World is Jesus.
Here's the problem, right? The words of the President Trump Blues is bad.
Sure.
But the music is better.
It is better.
Than The Light of Jesus
True.
To the World.
I don't know. The music is better than Light of the World to Jesus?
Yeah.
I don't know the song. Light of Jesus to the World. Jesus Light,
light of
the
world,
world
to Jesus.
Jesus
is like,
me
y'all
up.
Are really inspiring me.
Get Lit with JC. 2018. Squad's lit.
Do you think
the disciples were the first squad goals?
The thing with choosing the worst song is like you're not wrong either way. So
yeah.
There's no wrong answer.
Okay, I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yes, ma'am.
I think Light of Jesus is a worse song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's sneakier, perhaps?
No.
It's not sneaky, Kevin.
It's sneakier than calling
it
the President Trump Blues.
It is sneaky like a cartoon burglar. Like, dun, 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 with a black mask tied around their face and like a black and white striped shirt.
And a bag that says Robbie.
Yeah.
No, I just think it's worse because it blatantly says homosexuals are living in vile bondage mm-hmm. and things
that,
like
yeah.
that, which I can't really
that's
get past.
Okay, that's
I can like be like, you support Trump, okay.
But he calls Mexicans illegals in the President Trump Blues.
It's bad. I'm not justifying
sure.
it. I'm not an apologist
yeah,
for President
fair,
Trump
Kevin, she's
Blues.
She's not going, well, I think it's the light of Jesus to the world because the President Trump Blues is so good.
It's good.
How
yeah,
dare you even
right.
include it in the conversation?
No. But I think it's just worse.
Here's where I'm getting stuck trying
yes,
to decide
Sir.
which I'm trying to decide which one is worse because they're both bad, so bad, and the difference is like they're both light of Jesus to the world is like nothing but like it's like taking someone's horrible rant and also there was some like elevator music playing in the background.
Right.
That's as close as a song as it gets. But also the President Trump blues isn't really a song either. It's literally just like, isn't that Trump guy great? It's like he wrote a thing.
Music stories.
Yeah. It's like he wrote a music story. It's like how Will Smith would like write the theme songs for the movies he was into. Woo. This is like that. It's like such a specific song.
Here comes the champion.
Yeah, like who? Do you think there are people driving around like, oh, and put on that President Trump jam?
Yeah, but they're about to drive off a cliff because they're so old.
Kevin.
What is that bad?
We can't alienate our olds.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of octogenarian listeners. I forgot about that.
Neither one of them is like anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you listen and go, that's not a song. Mm-hmm. That's a nothing. That's a
okay,
it's
just gut reaction real quick. 3, 2, 1.
A Light of Jesus to the World.
Okay.
I'm going to say Light of Jesus to the World, too, because I think despite the mockery on stage, it is sneakier. President Trump blues is just like it's right there. It is vivid from second one.
Is that the sound it makes?
Isn't it the sound?
No, mine whistles.
Oh.
Like a slide whistle.
Okay, here, okay, bram, bram, here, you are right, because it is sneaky-er. It is like President Trump blues is literally like him pulling down his pants. But Light of Jesus of the World is like he's slowly doing it. So the exact same action, but
can
a little
I
slower.
Show you my
God. Oh, yeah, it's the Louis C.K. song. He's just slowly asking. It's bad is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it is bad.
It's trash, can I? Ooh, yeah.
And also, I do want to point out, I joked, but like both songs sound like they could be from the same album, not 30 years apart, right?
Sure,
like,
musically, yeah.
It is literally like he's found his thing,
yeah.
And it's Casio tracks.
Would you prefer he like do EDM or something?
But it's just like, it's amazing when you ask like, does he know? No, he hasn't changed.
Carmen, do you know that you suck?
It
so is bad.
Okay.
All right. The Light of Jesus to the World. You are, at least for this week, the worst Carmen song of all time.
The worst.
I should have changed that part.
What? That was good.
Yeah, but
Kevin,
I believe it.
You're doing a good job.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I'm really proud of you.
Guys, thanks for coming to the show. This has been so fun. Wow. Sincerely, we truly didn't know how this show was going to go. This show sold out quicker than any of our other shows have. Because you people are so rad and
honestly,
so cool.
I think it's the Travis effect also. So.
For sure. Give it up for Travis and Teresa McElroy. And the Falcon Theater, Ted in the booth.
Thank you.
Special props to Ted, the kindest sound tech we've ever worked with.
One more question.
Sure.
Everyone's going to church tomorrow, right? Alex's like, no.
Now, we're going to go in a line and ask every person individually, are you going to church tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you going to church tomorrow?
Maybe.
Are you going to church tomorrow?
Yes.
Hang on. You said maybe? Are you going to church tomorrow?
Yes.
Are you going to church tomorrow?
Yes.
Are you going to church tomorrow?
Yes.
Are you going to church tomorrow?
Are you?
Ooh! Kentucky rocks!
Damn.
Because the answer is Caroline and I will be on a plane.
Leading church.
Yes.
They want to get closer to God.
I'm breaking into the pilot's like cockpit. Excuse me.
I just want to direct everyone's attention up to heaven.
You just keep hitting like the steward button like, hey, I didn't need any water. I just want to, do you know where you're going? No,
yeah, I'm doing a turnaround in LA and then I'm going back to Cincinnati. No.
Do you know where you would go?
Oh, boy.
If this plane was hijacked by a redhead.
Oh, you would threaten that. Well, that could be either of us, right?
Yeah.
At this
no,
point.
No, it was going to be you.
Oh. That's problematic. Women can be hijackers, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Oh, yes. Great.
No, but sincerely, the show has meant a lot to us to be able to come out here and do this for the first time. We got to come back sometime because you guys are so great. And now, I think it's time. I think it's time to get a little more serious and slow things down. Not everything can be the President Trump blues. If we can just dim the lights and get into a different kind of space.
You guys can...
Literally the President Trump blues right now.
If you could just close your eyes, bow your heads, put your head between your knees.
Are you trying to get them to do
sing
a self
a little song? Kevin, on Easter weekend?
Right. Yeah. He's risen indeed.
Oh, no, God.
Oh, boy.
But that's not what we're here to do.
We're here to lift things up.
That's right.
We're here to lift you, the good people of Kentucky/Ohio, up. We're here to lift our guests up, Travis and Teresa, wherever she may be.
She's been raptured.
Oh, wait, shit. No, shit.
We screwed up.
None of us.
Oh, boy. Travis, what do you want to lift up today?
I want to lift up the improv show I'm doing tonight with OTR Improv.
This will age well when
at
the podcast
below zero.
Comes
if any of you want to come, it's at 8 o'clock. I also want to lift up, we're starting the Max Fun Drive in the next 2 weeks, first 2 weeks of April. I also want to lift up Kevin, see how high I can get him.
Not hard.
That's
you're
it.
You're so thin.
Oh, sure.
And healthy.
Oh, sure. For now.
Well, and you got those bird bones.
Excuse me?
You got hollow bones?
Yeah.
It's fair. I get docs on the Good Christian Fun podcast. Kevin has hollow bones. Caroline, what do you want to lift up?
If you like having fun and laughing, there's a show on Netflix called Nailed It, which is very good. And it's like, imagine a good baking show, but none of the people know how to bake. It's so fun. And it's hosted by Nicole Byer, who I'm a huge fan of now. You can lift me up at Caroline's Farts.
It's good.
It's good. I'll never not laugh. It's so stupid. And I don't know why, anyone considers me a professional. Kevin.
You really undermined yourself in that lift up. Wow. Well, you can lift me up, of course, as per usual, at Kevin T. Porter. I want to lift up that new December's album. I think it's really good. One where the kind of went, a little electronic. It was good. A little more poppy. Fun. And you can lift up the podcast at Good Christian Fun. No. Wait, what is it?
Christian Fun Pod.
We've only done this show twice. At Christian Fun Pod on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com, blah, blah, blah. Join the groups. But we want to lift you up, the good people of Kentucky/Ohio. So now...
And claim your life in the name of Jesus.
We're going to claim you.
Whether you like it or not.
We're going to claim you.
You especially.
Definitely you. Definitely you.
I'm just feeling like somebody in here is ready to make a decision today.
Even if you're not sure.
God has put it on our hearts that somebody
wants to... And we're just going to keep going.
We'll wait.
Somebody wants to subscribe to our patreon.com/goodchristianfun. I see a hand back there.
I see
yes,
that.
Thank you. I see a hand back there.
There's no hand. Really.
Maybe you just want to...
I see, for the listener at home, I see unanimous hands in the audience.
Everybody, oh my God, they're all weeping.
GCF Second Service every Friday. And now we lead you in a special Kentucky fried version of the GCF Sinner's Prayer. I want everyone with heads bowed and eyes closed.
And wallets open.
And dicks out for Harambe. Cincinnati Zoo.
Do you think Harambe's in heaven?
Yeah.
For sure he's in heaven.
I don't know.
Dear Pod, I want you to repeat after me. That's a very important part of this. Yeah. No matter what I say, you have to do it. Or we're not leaving. This is a hostage situation. Dear Pod.
Dear Pod.
I want to thank you for such good content today. I want to thank you for protecting me from Carman.
I want to thank you for protecting me from Carman.
Carman can't hurt me.
Carmen can't hurt me.
The donut man can't hurt me.
The donut man can't hurt me.
But you know what?
But you know what?
I'll let Stephen Curtis Chapman hurt me.
I'll let Stephen Curtis Chapman hurt me.
But in a good way.
But in a good way.
Like it hurts so good.
Like it hurts so good.
I want to thank Kevin and Caroline. And I kind of want to thank Travis and Teresa. For giving me the greatest podcast I've ever heard today. Thank you, God, for my job as a janitor.
Thank you, God, for my job as a janitor.
Thank you for providing for me.
Thank you for providing for me.
Now I'm going to go home. I'm going to do the big M. It's a release.
Coming on strong.
Get real.
And all of Pod's people said,
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming out to the show. For Travis, for the Falcon Theater. We'll be outside if you want to come say hi. Thanks so much for coming, guys.
Surrounded by your movie, what will my eyes feel? Will I go get some popcorn? Or in awe of Bart Be Still? Next week on GCF, we're watching I Can Only Imagine, the movie, which is in theaters now.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.